Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Welcome to Friday Fellowship of Learners. We are so excited. We're always excited, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe we will share it with the scripture today. What was our scripture for today, Minister? Let me see here. I believe our scripture for today was have so much activity going on in the spirit realm and in the natural. God, praise God. Our scripture was for today Exodus 15:2. The Lord is our strength and our song. Hallelujah. He's our song. We're studying and looking at the names of God and the power it has in our life and the promise of power.
Oh, I apologize. You said minister. I didn't know who you were talking to.
But that's all right. Sometimes I don't want to put names because I didn't say it on the air. But it's okay.
Oh, it's okay. I thought you were meaning for the class we're on. Sorry.
It's no problem. No problem. No problem. But we got our scripture for today. The Lord is our strength and our song. And praise God, we need that strength, and that strength, joy, because it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we get that name of God, it empowers us to be strong in the Lord, and it gives us joy where we sing, so that our conversation will edify him and will build the church and will be a glory to the name of God and to the character of God and to the kingdom of God. And so everything we do, we want it to be an eternal treasure that we're sending forth. What comes out of our mouth, what lies in our hearts, the thoughts that we have, we need him to cleanse us from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over us, so that we will be free from the evil. One of the words that came when we entered into our sanctuary from one of the youths of the church, it says, you know, the world sins, and the world thinks they can see, they have to sin. He says, but Jesus didn't sin, and neither do you have to. And so it's a power, it's a joy, it is a,
amen.
That's a prophetic word. He is speaking a prophetic word out of the word of God. I think our studies taught us that is the second level of prophecy. The first level of prophecy is things that we're looking for and we're looking to establish, because remember again, this is the year of the open mouth. So let our open mouth prophesy. It says, if you testify to Jesus, that's a word of prophecy. So if you tell anybody about the Lord, you're prophesying. You're letting them know that the word said, and you're the secondhand heralder of the word, that through him will be saved. So you're giving a prophecy to a person. If you believe, your sins shall be forgiven. And we don't look at it that, but that's prophecy. He said, my children, my sons and daughters are going to please him. He's going to pour his spirit upon man so that we would prophesy. In other words, we would have the Holy Spirit in us who would declare to the world through us. And so that's why we want to take the word of God and the names of God and empower our day with them and every moment really of our living, but definitely command our day and command our mouth and our spirits to rejoice in the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and he has joys and benefits in it for us every day. He knows us up. Hallelujah. And so we look at that word of strength and song, and this is a time where we might possibly be getting weary in some of the physical things that we have to do. But we will remember that he's our strength. And he, because of that strength, then we are able to sing. We should walk around doing all the work that's coming to do in the next 2 months or so, just in getting situated and set up in the sanctuary, hallelujah, and do it with a joy and a song that our bodies ain't even got nothing to do with this. This is our spirit, man. No matter how maybe weary we may think we are, that joy will strengthen us and revive us and give us that renew our strength. It will renew our strength and cause us, he said, to mount up because we're waiting on him. We waited on the Lord, and he definitely did what he promised he would do. And so we testify to that. And to his faithfulness.
Amen.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. He's faithful, and he is a way maker, a promise keeper, a light in the dark place. Those are just some of the attributes of our great God, our great God. Somebody said God is good, and then somebody else say God is great. He is a great God. So we always want
and
to take the higher goal. Yes.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say that scripture also in modern language Bible finished like the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will glorify him, my Father God, and I will exalt him. And in the other version, it says the Lord is the strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. And the other one says I will habitate with him. So it's just awesome how that scripture just speaks volumes. Thank you. To God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we use the word of God. It's our weapon. It's our sword. You know, to cut up the depression, to cut out the tightness, to cut through the darkness. The word of God will be our light. It will be our strength. And it is a weapon of our warfare. Praise God. One of the things the author shared with us as it related to who we are in Christ and how our victory promise was our spiritual weapon. And he said the spiritual weapon, the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So those are things that we keep in the front of our minds. We ask Holy Spirit to keep it before us. That's why the scripture told the children of Israel, write it on your eyelids, okay? Write it in your hand, over your doorpost. Keep it ever before you in your understanding and in your thinking. That was one of the things of the transformation of the heart, that we learn that we have to guard our heart. We have to monitor what flows in. We need to evaluate the words that come out, make sure they are indicating those words that bring life and not those words that bring death. Because, again, this is the year of the open mouth. So what we speak and say, so will it be, because God has given us that promise. Those are one of the promises. What you bind on earth will be bound on earth. What you bind in heaven on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be I know the scripture. And if I misquoted it, please give me the proper. I believe the author even shares that. I look at one of our promises for this particular chapter, which is the way of promises. So if somebody would look that up for me and make sure what I'm saying is accurate over the airway. Okay. We look it up and bring correction and clarity. I'll kind of look forward. I can't look in, so. Amen. So that's where we are in this glorious day. We are embarking on promise number 17, dreams from God, a topic that is not very well known and well spoke of in our gatherings and in our spiritual lives. It is not something that everybody feels that they do. It is not something, you know, it's like this mystery around it, and, you know, it's for those seers, you know, who are you, a seer? But we remember that the promise of God has said to us in dreams and in vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men. In dreams and visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men in slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of men to feel their instructions. I remember part of that scripture, but I never remember reading that he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. That's a very powerful scripture. If someone can find it in another version of the Bible, that's Job 33:15-16. Job 33:15-16. I think it will be important for us to hear and see other presentations of this particular scripture. That's Job 33:15-16. Let me know anytime you come up with the scriptures that, that I've been in need of here. Amen. So we want to get right to the
In Job 33:15-16, in the Marlon Language Bible, it states, in dreams and visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, and hours of slumber on their bed, then he opened the ears of men and affirmed the warnings directed to them.
Amen. Anybody else have another version? I'm looking at the Name of God Bible version, and it says, in a dream, a prophetic vision at night, when people fall into a deep sleep, when they sleep on their beds, he opens people's ears and terrifies them with warning. I thought that was really
wow.
But we will see some of the examples that the author gives where that's exactly what happened. So he did it for the people in this particular studying that we're doing in the scriptures to bring about a certain level of fear so that they would be obedient. And so it starts with the verse of the voice of the Almighty that thunders from Mount Sinai, also subtly whispers to the subconscious minds of people in the mysterious language. And oftentimes dreams and visions are symbolic. They're not literal. Sometimes they're very literal. And then sometimes they are symbolic. In other words, the Lord uses things and symbols that you're familiar with the nature of them to convey a truth to you, to get your attention and give you understanding. And then he uses the same things that you are used to bring you a solution to that situation that he is revealing to you. So the dreams and visions are filled with detailed imagery and profound symbols. Dreams are often an intricately poetic means the Creator uses to communicate the truth to us. And it says when Peter preached the first sermon of the New Covenant area on the day of Pentecost. Wow, that's some fees. Peter preached on Pentecost. He mentioned that this method of divine communication would be a dominant characteristic of this age of grace. Okay, and so that's a very important, concept for us to appropriate in our lives. It says in Acts 2 and 17, it says, in the last day it should be, save God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. My sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I think that is extremely familiar to you. You've heard it, and yet I don't think that everybody associates those things with themselves. The average Christian does not associate this scripture, this promise, to them. So sometimes we let these dreams come and go, and we don't give thought to them. And sometimes Holy Spirit will remind us, you know what, I believe this may have been something, you know, I had a dream. And so we have to always take this before the Lord. Nothing has happened to him. Remember that. God has orchestrated and ordered our steps. And he has a plan for us. And his plan is not for us when we don't have nothing else to do or when we need some direction. His plan for us is for every moment of our life. He has a plan for us, and he will communicate. And so Peter was saying that this method of divine communication would be a dominant characteristic. In other words, this is going to be something that's going to become common. It's going to become things that is daily. This is the general practice, a general divine method of communication. So this is going to be something that we need to now attain to. So, Lord, what does this mean for me? When you speak, a lot of people, the one thought, speak, Lord, I believe he's always speaking. He says the very earth that he created speaks of him. And he is always communicating with our silence. So this is the dominant characteristic of this and this age of grace. We have to know that we're in an age of grace. So this is a promise, and it is a promise about the future that Peter was sharing. He was sharing with them there, and he was prophesying for us now. And as we share with others, we're prophesying to on that second level of prophecy, which is just declaring what the Bible has declared. And we haven't initiated the prophetic insight, but we're echoing what has already been established. And if you don't echo it, there are going to be those that won't ever hear it. So as you echo it, you say it, and then the next person hears it, then they can echo it, they will say it, and then the next person will hear it. And that's how it goes forth. So the preachers, when they preach, they're prophesying, when they're sharing with us the word of God. It says that as true believers, we are begotten of the word and born of the spirit. So when we talk about the Bible on the basic level, we are prophesying. For the word of God and the spirit of God flows out of us. And remember that first level is when you are sharing the word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's obviously those that are going to get a word that's never been declared in the earth realm before. And it is for a time and a time to come. And they are given this word, they're given this instruction, they're given these mysteries from God, and they're released to release it on the earth through their mouth, through declaring, thus saith the Lord. That's the kind of thing that happened, that apostles shared. And, you know, when she said, this is the promise that God has done, and then the prophecy was, it will be this week. And sure enough, the paperwork and the wheels continued and were completed that week. Now, the manifestation came three days later.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 3 days later, the papers were signed, the keys were given, and the children of God walked into their inheritance. And so we have to remember that these are things that are not, we can think of them as common, but we need to think of them as divinely orchestrated. It is the divine nature of the kingdom of God. It is a characteristic of our living in this age of grace, which is the undeserved mercies and favor of God. And this is the divine ability to accomplish that grace. He gives us that divine ability to accomplish that which heaven would have us to do. There is no gender or barrier in the kingdom of God, so he made it know, that they were daughters and they were sons, that they were old men, they were young men. So there's no age where it stops or goes. There's no gender where it is forbidden, but all flesh, his spirit is and will manifest itself according to heaven's plan and desire. It says inspired dreams are not just reserved for old men. People of all ages are candidates for these divinely author means of communication. And then it shares with us in Numbers 12 and 6, God said, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in visions, and I will speak to him in dreams. Now, I am sure we've heard that before, and we figure, well, that's for Prophet Mike, Prophetess Connie. But he said, first of all, that's Old Testament. He said, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in dreams and visions. And he then, in the New Testament, he shares with us that he's going to pour his spirit upon us and we shall prophesy. So it's true believers. That's who it is. Remember what prophecy is. And so God is showing us that these things are going to happen because to everyone, because all new covenant sons and daughters are called to walk in the prophetic, at least at on one of three levels. All should expect to receive dreams from God. We should expect it. So we want to look at now some of the dreams and situations that occurred in Scripture. But we'll make a pause here where you guys can share your insight and revelation from this this lesson. We've been receiving a lot of insight from prophecy. We had the ambassadorial prophet last week share some of the ways, seven or eight ways that prophecy goes for. And so we want to become more knowledgeable, spiritually knowledgeable about area of communication, of divine communication. We want to know what it is. You know, you don't want to just think the only way to contact somebody is to send a letter. You know, you need to know if you can, you know, you can email them, you can text them, you can call them on the phone. So there's many different methods of communication available in the natural, just as there are many methods of communication available in the spiritual. And so we want to be familiar with it. I know so often, you know, I say, well, I don't know how to do that. You know, and that's not really a good response, and we need to learn. because these are methods of communication. In order to communicate, you have to have a certain level of knowledge of it, and that's what we want to make sure we are establishing in our going forth, because the Lord said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So often we don't know, and we don't seek to find out. We figure, well, no one told me. Okay, and he says, I've made it so that you have no need of man to teach you, because you have the Holy Spirit. This is what the Word of God shares with us. And so we have to be sure that we understand some of these things and we get familiar with them so that they are a major part of our spiritual growth and development. So that way we are understanding how, not so much how it should go, because so often we say, well, I just don't know. You know, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, we're waiting because he's been talking and we haven't been listening at the right thing. It's just like the phone been ringing, but then nobody answered. You heard that beeping, but you didn't open your cell phone, and you needed to pick it up. And so these are just things that as we learn and grow, we develop a cultural, a kingdom culture of understanding, and we are enlightened by it so that our weapons of warfare are effectively, they're going to be effective, but efficient. You know, we're not always struggling to do a thing when he has given us through the knowledge of different divinely imparted tools to overcome. But if we're not using those tools, you know, we got a nail and we're trying to get it into the wall by beating it with our hands. And we just pick up a hammer. You know, but if you don't know to pick that hammer up, you don't know that that's the quickest way to what you need, you know, you'll labor. Now, you may eventually get it in there, you know, but you're bloody and bleeding and hurting and frustrated and definitely have consumed time that what you didn't necessarily have to consume. And that's what it's like when we are trying to do a spiritual thing without the spiritual understanding and knowledge of the thing. He said that the Paul's prayer was that we would grow in the spirit of wisdom. We have to grow in the spirit of and knowledge, you know, always seeking to know and to understand and to find out and to be available for these revelatory times that God shares with us. And able to, I won't say decipher, but to interpret, that's it, to interpret them in a way that is going to be extremely victorious, even more than that. But it's so much more than that. It's like, how do you explain this? And so he's saying, just keep learning, just keep coming, just keep growing, just keep going. That's one of the conferences. Come grow and serve, the one that's going to be in Florida. So it's this constant seeking. If you seek me, it's a constant looking for him wherever he is and however he is revealing himself to us. Because we have to remember, God is always at work around us, always. He's always doing something, not around us with other people, but around us for us. Okay, surrounding us with what he intends to release to us and how he's going to release it and preparing us to receive that release. And so we want to be mindful of our position to receive these things that he has for us, to be in the place where he, when he's saying it, our minds have been, or the soil of our minds and heart, we have allowed him to prepare so that we can embrace what he is saying. That's like sometimes you can tell somebody something, they go, what are you saying? What are you saying? It's like you're speaking a foreign language. You have no idea, and they're not, but the terms that they're using, you don't understand them. And so he said, in all thy getting, you know, get an understanding. And that's, excuse me, not necessarily sitting down with somebody and say, okay, now I need to understand what you're thinking about. No, get an understanding of the word, of the time, of the season. Understand what the will of God is. Understand your role in the places that he'll lead. That's the kind of understanding all you're getting. Get that from him before you even get up from the table. And one of the ways to do this is in the vision and dream. And so we look now at some of the situations that happened in Scripture as it related to the dreams and visions. And the first one we're looking at is Abimelech. He was the king of Gerar and was warned in a dream not to take Sarai as his wife because she was married to Abraham. So I don't know how many of you know the story. When Abraham and Sarah set out, because the Lord told him to leave his family and go forth, and so he did. And in their journey, they would go from one kingdom to another. And in some of these lands, they were very hostile people. And so they were doing what God said to do. And Abraham, Sarah was very beautiful. And so where they were getting ready to go to this king of Gerar, they understood Abraham had an understanding of what the nature of people. Remember, knowing. He had an understanding of the nature of the people, and he knew that they would want his wife. So he decided, this is how we do. You know, we're doing what God says, and, you know, this is how we're going to do it. Tell him, you my sister. No. Okay. And then things will go well with me because the man will see his sister like her and all of that, and he'll be kind to Abraham because that was the nature. You, that brother that would be a guardian or the champion of his sister, and that type of relationship was honored in those days. And so Abraham knew that he would get favor and they wouldn't just kill him, okay? So it's interesting because the Lord didn't say anything to Abraham, but the Lord went enemy of the nation of Israel, which was this king, even though they weren't a nation yet because they had not had children, but it was the prophetic word on their life. And he went to an enemy and someone not of the faith, and he warned them who she was. Now, that dream brought terror, as the one scripture defined it. It brought terror to this king. And he came in very anxious to Abraham, saying, you're like, man, why you didn't tell me that? You know, the Lord revealed to me and said, that's your wife. You know, and he knew how much trouble he would have been in had he taken her. And so we see now that enemy was warned not to mess with a child of God through dreams to a non-saved person. And we're going to see this a lot. And so I don't know, what are your thoughts on that particular scenario? Okay. No one.
Well, over to you.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, on that scenario, oftentimes we find ourselves telling lies or false things, and then the consequences of our actions. So, not just in that biblical stories, but in life. And then we find ourselves having to repent right away because we realize even before we do it that we're lying, you know, or we're about to tell a lie. You know, there's that presumptuous thing, I think, when you do something knowing that it's wrong and you tell us a lie. And you can't say, I'm just telling a white lie, because it ain't no white lie, color lies. It's just a lie. And the consequences of our actions. But thank God that the king, you know, saw it in a vision and realized, you know, no, you know.
But it could have been very damaging.
Right, because sometimes our enemy are more afraid of our God than we are, because he was.
Yes.
And not only that, one should probably clarify, too, because what Abram said wasn't entirely a lie. And that's how we do. He kind of manipulated. She was his mother's daddy's child. So, you know, maybe a step. So it was, you know, not quite a lie, but it wasn't the truth. So anything that ain't the total truth is a lie. Even a part of a truth without the other part of it is a lie. And so, but we're good at that. We're good at manipulating words to fit our emotions and our fears, to calm our fears, our emotions, and our anxieties and things like that. And so this, I think, is a very profound lesson that dream saved Abraham and Sarah. And it was a dream not to Abraham and Sarah, but to the king that was, not a child of God. So then we look at Jacob. The son of Isaac had a dream of a ladder extending from earth to heaven, with angels ascending and descending on it, and the Lord standing at the top, uttering covenant promises. Now this is found in Genesis 28:10 through 22. Uttering covenant promises. So now this is a vision to a child of God of what is to come. What has never been declared on earth before, never been known, never been articulated on earth, he's showing it to Jacob in a dream, Jacob's ladder. I love it where it says he dreamed it was extended, first of all, from heaven to earth. That's a sign that heaven is connected to us. It is not a faraway place that we have to be a special something to get to. It's just a ladder, and it's going from or connection or a path, and it's going from heaven to earth. Let me see, how does it put it? I want to say it right. From earth to heaven. So now we're given access to heaven. Remember, we're seated in heavenly places. So this is a vision and a dream of that which is to come. And it says, with angels ascending and descending on it. So angels coming from heaven to bringing to earth, taking, you know, loosening here. Somebody find that loose and bound scripture. I really want to get it right. I have to look at it. Loose and bound. Let's see here. Because I do want to show how that scripture is, I think you say bound. That scripture is part of the prophetic of this dream of Jacob. Houston. I know it's in the New Testament.
Is that the Matthew's 10:39?
Matthew 18 and 18. Okay. No, Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And then in 18:18 it says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we have it in two places, bare minimums. So what it's saying, and this is what part of the dream that Jacob saw, stuff that had been loosed on earth going up and had been loosed in heaven coming down, what was bound, where are you at? In heaven, and whatever was bound in earth was bound in heaven. Whatever is loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And so that's a communication back and forth from earth to heaven, from earth to heaven. bound in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever is loosed in earth shall be loosed in heaven. So it's that connection. It is that what do you call it? Not trail, but that path that man now has access to from earth to heaven. And so this came about in the dream that Joseph had, Jacob had. And it also says he saw standing at the top. So in other words, this path is made available because of the Son of Man. And because Jesus Christ was at the top, well, it says the Lord, standing at the top, uttering covenant promises. So from heaven, he's speaking down to earth these promises that heaven is making with earth. So when you get this vision, okay, now this is a vision that should change our life, because what it's saying is there you see this ladder, and God is promising you, he's showing you, he's giving you this vision. This is what's happening in the spirit realm. This is real, and it's so real I'm going to let you see it in this vision. I'm going to show it to you. This is how it is. You have a path from earth to heaven, to whatever, all that heaven has, you have access to. The angels are at the command of your access. They are there to help, not at the command, but they're there to facilitate this access that you have, and also that Jesus Christ is where it is being initiated from heaven to earth. And he's speaking to us, saying, these are the things that I am giving to you. They're coming from heaven through me to you. You have access, ascending and descending, going up and coming down, ascending, make sure I'm saying that right, ascending, in other words, us going up to where heaven is, descending, bringing what heaven has down to earth. And that's a constant path. It's a constant traveling of what we are as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. So this vision of Jacob was a very powerful one that was bringing about the truth of the New Testament, the New Testament and the New Covenant. And he says he was uttering covenant promises. And we remember, it's coming out of the mouth of the Lord. And when God spoke, it came to pass. When we realize what he spoke, in the beginning was the word of work. Not a strong one. In the beginning, God came to heaven and earth. He spoke light, and it was. He called back the darkness, and it had to flee. He put the stars in there. He spoke it. And so we're seeing that Christ, the Lord, is speaking these promises to us on the earth. And as we do it, it gives us the power to access the path to receive that which heaven has and bring it to earth on a regular basis, because they were coming and going. They didn't just come down and go back up. He said they were coming and going. ING, meaning it was a constant activity. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else on this particular Jacob vision or dream? Insight you may have received. Okay, then we'll go to Joseph. And that's a very familiar one to us. Joseph and, you know, the two dreams. Joseph's life was full of dreams. God had a lot of communication to him through dreams. And I believe he had so many dreams and visions because, and then he had the ability, and he was granted the power of the interpretation of those dreams, because his life was going to be a very challenged life, a life full of trouble. He says, much is the trouble of man, okay, but God delivers us out of all of them. And he gave him those visions and dreams, and it's almost as though it's not a constellation, but it's a constant reminder to endure. Don't worry, endure. Don't worry, endure. this is what it's going to be like. Remember what I promised. Don't worry about your circumstances. And you can certainly think on how many times Joseph would have had to have given up thinking that dream didn't mean nothing because my brother hates me. Or that dream didn't mean because my brother was trying to kill me. That dream didn't mean my brother sold me. That dream, you know. So it was so much that was happening to him that because he had that dream and he held on to that divine patience that God had with him, and he believed God, that he was able to suffer, if you will, as a good soldier. Almost as though, you know, when you think of what he did as what Christ did, no matter what they said, no matter what they did, he didn't say a mumbling word. No matter how they beat him and do the things they did, he didn't say anything. Joseph never tried to defend himself. He never went to condemn those that were doing it to him, not with his mouth. And I believe that that kept his heart from having bitterness. And, you know, he was hurt, but he was always blessed by the promise that God gave him. So the promise he gave him with his brothers, that he would rule over them, and he was the youngest, and that was unheard of in that culture, and as well as in Egypt, that he would rule second in Egypt to the Pharaoh, that a Jewish young man, that was a slave, that was unheard of. But because of that dream and vision, I am sure it's what sustained him when the wife lied on him, even when the prisoners forgot about him and left him. You know, when his brothers came, sold him, he had the dream that God had given him to sustain him. So that's another divine communication. Just trust what I have for you and endure like a good soldier. Don't worry, you know, be happy, because God's got it, pretty much, was what these dreams had to have done for him. And we see in Joseph's dreams more of symbols than in the other two dreams. One dream was very specific, just don't go to that man's wife. And then the other was a vision and a dream of that which was to come, and seeing it, what it looks like in the spirit realm. And Joseph's dream was more symbolic because it used symbols that the Pharaoh was used to. He understood, they knew what, you know, what happens when there's a bunch of, sheaves of wheat bowing down. So he used items that they were familiar with in the dreams. And so then we did with Pharaoh, Chief Baker, and Butler. And then we remember, too, that the Pharaoh's Chief Baker and Butler, both of these distinct individuals in Pharaoh's household, received highly symbolic dreams from God, and the details of these dreams were interpreted by Joseph, foretelling that one would be executed and the other would be restored to his position. So these dreams came to non-believers. These were not believers. These were Egyptians. They had nothing to do with God, our God. They had so many gods, but they had these dreams. Our God communicated with them, really, unbeknownst to them. He gave them a dream they didn't even understand. But he gave them the dream so that they would go to the dreamer, and that was the child of God, and that would bring favor. So God will give others dreams that will cause us to get opportunity for advancement. You know, we always talk about a stream of income, you know, a stream of wealth. This stream of wealth came to Joseph through the dream of non-believers. They received dreams. They had no idea. They thought they was just dreaming a dream. But heaven was communicating something to them. And so We see God will use anything to get his children where he needs them to be. We looked at that. We saw that a lot in this last challenge and journey that the church was in. You know, he impacts and touches people that we had no idea existed or even knew that we existed. This baker and the chief butler, they didn't know anything about God, but one of the things, they didn't know anything about Joseph's future either. But what happened, and we need to see this, was Joseph's life of humility and the anointing on his life was observed by a non-believer. So they saw the one thing, you know, there's this man that he can interpret dreams. So what Joseph did makes this man a believer, okay? And so what we do will often impact people and make them a believer in our God. And so this is some of the power of the divine communication that God has with man. And so we had another one with Pharaoh. Anybody wanted to look at that particular scenario of dreams and visions, the details of it, the people involved in it, the reason behind it, and the result of it? Okie dokie. So then we're looking at Pharaoh. Now we're fast forwarding to New Testament. So here we have Pharaoh. And interestingly enough, the dream.
This Pastor Rogers, because I do have a lot of dreams. And I want to go back to, you said, the details and going back even to when in Matthew 18:18. Because sometimes when you're having these dreams, and I didn't say nothing because I'm coughing a lot, but when you have these dreams, you do get fear and then you doubt. But when you can come up with other believers and you come together and you begin to loosen bind, that gives you the strength that we know that what God said is true. But sometimes, you know, in our flesh, just because we're human, we get so weak and we begin to doubt. But when God declares things, if we don't step out on it and believe and have faith and trust in God, we'll never know that the dream will come to pass. And I was listening because sometimes God just gives you so many dreams, and I heard you say it's a challenge. So when we come up against these challenges in our life, and one thing I've learned with Joseph, I don't share my dreams to everybody because of what happened to Joseph. And I always would say, I'm not going to bring all of this, you know, these distractions, but the enemy could come in and attack me. But you also just cleared that up in with me because you say, if God give it to us, you know, can't nobody stop what God has planned for our life. So, you know, you're encouraging me there. But when mm-hmm. we go back and read everything in the Old Testament and coming up to the New, it's basically giving me to go with what we're learning right now in our life work, that God just wants us to know who he is so we can be able to show other people. Because if we don't know, then how can you help somebody else find out who he is? So I'm thanking God with the trust relationship, because he said, if you trust me, if you trust me, I would do it. And that seems like what God is doing. He just wants us to trust him, and so we will become those vessels that he said we were. All right. I'm blessed, because, look, I didn't cough not one time.
Amen.
Okay.
But that's because you prophesied. Remember, that's prophesying. It says when you're doing, you're under the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's something we need to realize. When you're under the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing natural can stop you. That's a fact. And just like you say, and that's something that I have witnessed with this oxygen thing here. But when I'm in church, I don't even know. I don't have it on, and I forget. And then we're going to put it on and say, apparently I don't need it, okay? So there are things when you are in the presence of God, some things cannot, they can't be there. They cannot. And so when we are surrendered totally, and it's not like, okay, no, well, now I'm not surrendered, so now I'm going to cough. And then that's not what I mean. But there is a difference in the flowing of the Holy Spirit through us. When he is flowing through us for whatever reason, okay, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, nothing else is going to, he has priority. That's it. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we need to acknowledge that, believe that, and we'll see how things will start changing. Because then we become prophetic, because we're going to repeat what has already been declared, and it has power, and it never changes, and it will bring about what God wants to happen. So thank you for that. That's a powerful testimony. It's one of those examples we need to see. And I like to encourage people that dream and say, oh, I dream all the time. I think that's one of the things, just like you know who the prophet is, you know who the evangelist is, you know who the pastor is, you need to know who the interpreters are. You need to know who is the seer, who sees these things, who knows, who does this. Just like that butler or the cook or whoever, so, you know, there's a man. They knew that interprets the dreams of God. So we need to write our dreams down, number one, because you need to capture the details in the dreams. And then we need to make ourselves available to the teaching, the prophetic teaching on dreams and visions, and into the gifting of those who have this. Now, they're not prophets, no, but they are utterance. They have the gift in utterance, whether they're speaking in tongues or interpreting. They have the gift of utterance. And so we need to understand, we need to be scholars. You can study to show yourself approved. So study so that we know what this means and how it should be in full service in the church. You should be, I don't mean, so, well, yeah, it's because they're servants of God, but it needs to be activated just like the prison ministry is or whatever. And so we do want to be able to do that, and I know we are coming close to the end of our show, and not our show, but our service and our fellowship time, and I'm going to say I don't want to cut it short, but I am going to cut it on time because, praise God, we're going to the sanctuary, and we're preparing it for the things that God is letting us bring into the building so that we may worship Sunday morning at 10:30 if are available. Hallelujah. Come by the church tomorrow, because the church being 150 East 124th Place, and lend a hand. Get a mop, broom, rag, the prayer, Bible, whatever. But the church will be in full force. Thank you. Church will be in full force. Church and the partners and the kingdom. That's what it really is. It's kingdom. The kingdom will be, putting in order the house of God, so that we may worship Sunday morning at 10:30 Sunday morning. That's 10:30 a.m. Sunday, March 1st. Praise God. We will be having our first worship service at the sanctuary of Labors for Christ Word Life Center. So thank you all. We love you all. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And remember,
Overseer.
Yes.
Can I just wanted to make one comment. I had to get off the line and put the thing on hold, so I missed a big portion of it. But I just wanted to say congratulations to Laborers, even though I feel like I'm part of Laborers. But congratulations to Laborers on the new edifice, because I understand how it feels when you are in the process of acquisition and or building, and there can be a weight and there can be negative forces and energy hurled your way because a lot of people don't believe. So I am just ecstatic that God has shown himself strong. And not that there was any doubt in that, but I understand how sometimes the body can work against you even though they think they're not, because they're murmuring against what's not going to happen, and it can just be so much stuff. So I'm just saying thanks be to God who gives us the victory that, you know, that this has come full circle and God has done exactly, you know, what he promised, and that for, as a congregation, that everybody can take a collective sigh, you know, and move forward. You know, with the mantle, you know, with the momentum that the Lord has brought. Because, like, sometimes you do have people who are just coming for the fishes and the loaves, and if it seems like that's not moving as fast, then rather than just wait and pray with you for the manifestation, sometimes people start to put their mouth on you. But it's just so awesome to be able to be making this move. I'm going to... It is my hope to be there. I'm not sure, but it is my hope to be there on Sunday morning. But just congratulations. That's all that I wanted to say. Congratulations to you guys corporately, and to Apostle. Get some sleep, you know. Go somewhere and take 2 or 3 days off and get some sleep, you know, and just relax. Just do nothing, you know, just... You know, be washed with the regeneration of the world, just let the word and the peace of God just engulf, you know, in that. But, you know.
Amen. We thank you. But that's just for your word, but for your prayer. The thing that makes it work is that intercessors were lifting up this vision and the victory from the earth realm so that those arrows, okay, they would hit everything. But she was lifted up. We were lifted up as a church, as a body, as a group. You know, we were taught how to come together with one accord. I mean, we learned a lot. Not only that, he may have provided a sanctuary, but he built the people during this process. And it really is those that were upgirding us on the, not on the outside, but on our perimeters. They were our rear guard. There were those that have, you know, they have given of their blood, sweat, tears, their resources, their love, their prayers. This has been accomplished by a kingdom of people that love the Lord God. We love God. And this is done for him. And he did it because he promised to do it. And also because he has a purpose in doing it, standing of what this process kind of looks like. Because I'll tell you the truth, I may be sitting very close to the middle. I still don't see what all is involved. That's just how immense a task it is. And that God has placed that upon the vision of the house, visionary of the house. And we will never understand the road that was traveled to this point. And I shared with somebody, they said, well, you can rest. I said, yeah, I think we can rest on April 21st. And they said, oh, what's happening then? I said, hopefully that's when everything will be done. Okay. And then we can have 3 hours before we then continue. So it's like, and it's not that there's no rest for the weary, but there's a joy in the worship and in the work. and the work has only just begun. Hallelujah. And so we know that your prayers will restore our strength and our energy. They will help to upgird and bring new wind under our wings, so that we can do those things that God would have. So we do thank all of our partners, all of those that are just your ministry, like you say, your family. It doesn't matter where you go on Sunday, but Monday through Sunday, we all go to the throne of God together in the court. So we love you.
Amen.
We love you. There are some faces that you just want to see, okay, and it just lets you know, okay, we good. This is we good. You know who's praying. You know who's worshiping. You know, and he'll show God. He'll show, that's another thing. He does with dreams and visions. He lets you know. You're not in this by yourself. You know, he's got folk all over the world, literally, on our behalf. And I thank God for that. I really do. And I thank God for you guys.
One kingdom.
And I'm okay. So I can be ready when Mariah comes and gets to the church, okay? Because I got a job to do and I got it in my notebook. So that I don't forget. And when that part comes, I definitely want to be prepared, okay? So pray for me or meet me there. Hallelujah. Okay? Amen, amen, and amen. All right. So enjoy our worship. Amen. I'm beeping. I don't know what that means. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you.